RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo finally decides Masela LNG plant onshore. Indonesian Student Association PPI on the Indonesian and the Indonesian Embassy in Belgium stand by for 24 hours post-blast. Minister Retno Marsudi meets Dutch Foreign Minister to discuss trade. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo finally decided on Wednesday that the Masela liquefied natural gas LNG plant would be built onshore. President Joko Widodo told reporters after a visit to the border city of Antikong in West Kalimantan that his decision was based on a number of factors. According to the president, one of the most important factors is that the project would serve as a driver of economic growth in the area around Masela in southern Maluku. The Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry and the Upstream Oil and Gas Regulator would follow up the decision. Sudirman Said, the Energy and Mineral Resources Minister, said as a consequence, implementation of the project would likely be delayed as the investors would need time to restudy the whole aspects of the multi-billion dollar project. In principle, the government wants that the local people would benefit from the development of the giant gas block. The presidential decision is expected to end the controversy over whether the facility is to be built onshore or offshore. Indonesian Student Association PPI and the Indonesian Embassy in Brussels, Belgium stay on 24 hours alert and open a telephone service to monitor the impact of bomb blast in the city which occurred on Tuesday. The remark was made by Chairman of the Indonesian Student Association, Belgium, Galuh Syahbana Indra Prahasta, in Brussels, Belgium on Wednesday. He mentioned the PPI provides technical assistance and accommodations for Indonesian citizens in the six representatives of cities, namely Brussels, Ghent, Antwerp, Leuven, Liège and Hasselt. As reported by Indonesian Embassy in Brussels, the bomb blast occurred on four points, namely the International Departure Terminal of Zaventem Airport, Brussels, Malbik Metro Station, Sherman Metro Station, and the Ars Eloi intersection. The explosion resulted at least more than 30 people died, including an Indonesian citizen, as well as hundreds of people were seriously injured. Galuh Syahbana Indra Prahasta said, currently the embassy in Brussels opened a 24-hour hotline actively in a number of +32578957214 or +32578405728 or +32277501200. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi will discuss trade agreement and investment in her meeting with Dutch Foreign Minister Bert Koenders today, March 24, 2016, in Jakarta. The meeting was held following the Bali Regional Ministerial Conference in Bali on March 22 to March 23, 2016. Minister Retno added that both countries have agreed to encourage further interactions of both countries' business players. Minister Retno also expected an increase in the number of Dutch investors who invest in Indonesia in various sectors, particularly in maritime sector development. The Netherlands is Indonesia's second largest trading partner in Europe and sits at 15th place overall in 2015. In the same period, the Netherlands is also the fourth biggest investor in Indonesia. Before decided to join with Trans-Pacific Partnership, there are a lot of preparations should be done carefully by the government. Head of Assessment and Policy Development Agency, Foreign Affairs Ministry, Salman Al-Farisi, stressed that the legal preparation in particular should be implemented seriously in order to trade agreement will not make Indonesia as the market only. After he dedicated public lecture entitled Indonesia, Australia and the Trans-Pacific Partnership at the Foreign Affairs Ministry, Jakarta on Wednesday, March 23, Salman Al-Farisi explained the agreement made the tariff of Indonesian trade completely opened.
Ya, tentu beberapa hal ya, artinya
the government has to see this cooperation carefully. Many things must be prepared, such as the issues of legal and economic policy itself, which of course should refer to the open competition. We have to really be ready. Do not let us go to the cooperation, but later we face a variety of things. Our market are very large. We are not ready for the competition. I think that's an important thing to do. Salman Al-Farisi further explained, the preparations that should be done is in the field of law, tax and investment protection. In addition, the state-owned enterprises, which will be privatized and become the backbone of the economy, should also be strengthened. The statement of President Joko Widodo in his visit to the United States at the end of last year about the readiness of Indonesia to join in the Trans-Pacific Partnership reaped some pros and cons. Trans-Pacific Partnerships is rated by many countries as a controversial trade agreement because it has wide coverage of issues and very high standard. President Joko Widodo hoped, according to Al-Farisi, with the cooperation, it will increase the opportunity of Indonesia to improve its economy and competitiveness abroad. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia should follow the example of Malaysia's economic sharia system that has been able to empower medium and small-scale entrepreneurs, Advisory Board Chairman of Indonesia's Council of Ulemas has said. The former general chairman of Muhammadiyah, one of Indonesian major Muslim organizations, who is also as chairman of the advisory board of Indonesia's Council of Ulemas, Din Samsudin, further said that Malaysia, that has a majority Muslim population, just like Indonesia, has successfully applied the economic sharia system. According to him, economic development system since the New Order era was not yet aligned with the interests of the Muslims as a major group in Indonesia. Thus, Din Samsudin pointed out that there needs to be a policy to set this right and economic justice should be constitutionally mandated. In an effort to implement such a policy, to align the economy and ensure economic justice, there must be a law to regulate the national economic system, Din explained, referring to the ruling of Article 33 of the 1945 Constitution. State-owned steel manufacturer PT Krakatau Steel TBK is seeking government support to face the problem posed by an influx of Chinese steel as the Chinese economy is not showing any signs of recovery. PT Krakatau Steel TBK President Director Sukandar said in Cilegon, Banten Province on Wednesday that the fact that the Chinese economy has shown no sign of improvement has caused the world's largest steel producer to oversupply steel. As a result, Chinese steel has flooded the Southeast Asian market, including Indonesia. As a result of oversupply of steel, the global steel prices have fallen and steel producers have been selling their products at prices below their production costs. He praised the government for its policy requiring all construction projects funded by the state budget and a number of state-owned companies to use locally made steel and iron. He also asked the government to ensure gas supply at fair prices at a time when the global gas price is declining. The last item, the tourism ministry and some Indonesian golf operators visited Seoul and Busan, South Korea for 3 days from March 21st to March 23rd, 2016 to promote Indonesia's golf tourism potentials. During the ministry's visit to South Korea, a number of local golf operators were invited to a tabletop meeting. The meeting was held to facilitate business transactions that hopefully could boost the number of visits by Korean to Indonesian to play golf. Golf experts were also invited to be provided with more information on Indonesian golf potentials. In the sales mission Golf Korea 2016, held at the Four Seasons Hotel in Seoul, Indonesian Ambassador to Republic of Korea, John Prasetyo, said that Indonesian golf experience will be very impressive. One of the attractions found in Indonesian golf courses is its beautiful surroundings, including sea views, volcanoes, and tropical rainforest. The golf courses are also readily available all year round thanks to the Indonesian tropical climate. Listener, that was news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. Magnificent beauty of nature among the colors of heaven. This is a wonderful place. I feel love. Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the 3 awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Listener, here is commentary. Today's commentary entitled Rebuilding Hambalang Mega Project. To build the glory of sport and bring back nation's good reputation, Indonesia, in the era of the government of President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, launched the Indonesian Gold Program Implementation Unit, or in Indonesian Satlak Prima. The aim, among others, is to win the medals at the 2016 Olympics in Brazil and grab the fifth rank in the Asian Games 2018. In order to realize these ideals, the government has built a national sports training center and sports school known as the Hambalang Project. However, before the reign of Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono ended, the Megra Project was stopped in 2011 due to a scandal in its development. Until now, the case is still in the legal process. Few days ago, President Joko Widodo visited the Hambalang Project, which has been abandoned as the result of the scandal. After visiting and getting feedback from the Minister of Youth and Sports for the sake of national interest, President Joko Widodo plans to rebuild the Hambalang Megra Project. According to the President, Hambalang Complex is the country's asset and had to be rescued. Although later in the future, it will not be a national sports center, at least the complex of more than 15 hectares can be useful for many people. If it cannot be used for sports, the President plans to change Hambalang to become rented apartments office, so that the project worth more than 2 trillion rupiahs is not wasted. The government's wish to continue Hambalang project should be appreciated, especially related to the Asian Games 2018 in Jakarta and Palembang, the Indonesia, thus requires sports supporting infrastructure. It is estimated that more than 10,000 athletes from Asian countries will participate in the grand sport event in the Asian continent. Whereas Bung Karno Sports Complex in Jakarta, with its existing sports infrastructure, is not able to support the grand sports event. The plan to revive the Hambalang project must also be addressed with great caution, because the issue on Hambalang scandal has not stopped and is still in the legal realm. So, it is natural if the Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK reminds the government to be cautious and wait until the legal process really completes. The same thing was also expressed by Houses Commission 10, which stopped the Megra projects. However, regardless of the unfinished legal process, it is normal if the current government wants to save the deserted state assets, as it has absorbed a lot of people's funds. Listener, that was the commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, here is the day in history. We begin the events on March 24th with the World Tuberculosis Day. On March 24th, 1882, in Berlin, Germany, Robert Koch, a microbiologist, presented his study on tuberculosis. He found that tuberculosis, or TB, is an infection caused by Mycobacterium tuberculosis. This infection mostly attacks the lung, although one-third of TB cases attack other organs and was transmitted to the other people. Thanks to Robert Koch's discovery, TB can be cured. Therefore, March 24th is commemorated as the World Tuberculosis Day. We move into March 1946. Bandung Sea of Fire. Bandung Sea of Fire was a great fire happened in Bandung City, West Java on March 24, 1946. In 7 hours, around 200 residents of Bandung burned down their houses and abandoned the city into the mountain around the southern part of Bandung. This was aimed to prevent the Allies and the Dutch Nika to use Bandung as their strategic military base in the Indonesian Independence War. Decision to burn down Bandung was taken through the Priangan Struggle Unity Council, or MP3, discussed in front of all powers for Indonesian independence on March 24, 1946. Colonel Abdul Haris Nasution, as the Republic Indonesian Army's 3rd Division Commander, announced the discussion result and instructed the evacuation of Bandung City. At that exact day, big amount of Bandung residents left the city during the burning was ongoing. This historical event is commemorated as Bandung Sea of Fire. Listener, we end the day in history with an event on March 24, 1986. Exxon Valdez's oil tanker spilled more than 11 million gallons of oil into the waters of Prince William Sound, Alaska. Dongfang Ocean, before called Exxon Valdez, was a tanker of ExxonMobil, sank and spilled around 257,000 up to 750,000 barrels of crude oil around the waters of Prince William, Blythe Reef, Alaska on March 24, 1986. The ship was led by Captain Joseph Hazelwood to the Long Beach, California. This event was the second heaviest sea oil pollution in the United States history and in the world, 54th ranking. Listener, that was the day in history.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. Today's edition, entitled Chance for Delivery Service Business to Develop in the Asian Economic Community. ASEAN Economic Community, or AEC, still continues. Indonesia is expected to still face the AEC, especially with all players in the industry that should further improve the capacity, quality, and professionalism. In terms of opportunities and based on geographical condition of Indonesia, it highly supports the express, postal, and logistics industry and is expected to grow rapidly. This was conveyed by the chairman of Association of Express Delivery Service, Post and Logistics Indonesia, Asperindo, Muhammad Kadrial in Jakarta, as quoted by Inila.com. According to Kadrial, the industry sector's specific growth rate can reach more than 14% in 2016. It will be rapid if the regulators and businesses are able to fix the logistics system, especially in the regulation of infrastructure and technology. The Association of Express Delivery Services, Post and Logistics Indonesia stated that it is ready to face the AEC and is optimistic to create innovation and encouraging strategic collaboration with the members and stakeholders. To prepare the business economy in Southeast Asia, all parties are required to work together to positively transform the challenges into opportunities. Kadrial explained, this could be achieved if the regulator, which is the government, and industry players have to fix the system logistics industry, particularly on the regulation, infrastructure, and technology. Moreover, it is projected that the post and logistic industry will experience the growth more than 14%. The move is in line with the e-commerce business, as well as micro, small, and medium enterprises. Meanwhile, on the other hand, Indonesian farmers also need to have competitiveness by improving the quality so that they can compete in facing the AEC. Head of Agriculture Trading Center of the Ministry of Agriculture, Harry Sulianto, as reported by okzone.com, said they should be prepared from now on because it is possible for foreign workers to be employed in Indonesia's agriculture. According to Harry, preparation of Indonesian farmers should be a concern for referring the data from the Central Statistics Agency or PPS that the level of public education of the farmers is still low, namely 88% elementary schools and junior high school graduate. According to him, with a low education level, farmers are difficult to implement agriculture and science technology that has been produced either by research in higher education institutions. Meanwhile, the domestic industry should also be supported by continuously preparing its human resources in facing the AEC. With the cosmetics industry, which is now able to compete in the domestic market, also plans to explore the ASEAN market. According to the owner of Wardah Cosmetics, Nurhayati Subaka, AEC will make the industry positive. It is expected that Indonesia can promote domestic products. According to Nurhayati, cosmetic industry in Indonesia has been successfully competing with foreign cosmetic business operators. Thus, with the same level of competition, the domestic industry in Indonesia is confident to dominate the market in the ASEAN economic community. Well, listener, that was Focus.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo finally decided on Wednesday that the Masela liquefied natural gas LNG plant would be built onshore. President Jokowi told reporters after a visit to the border city of Antikong in West Kalimantan that his decision was based on a number of factors. According to the president, one of the most important factors is that the project would serve as a driver of economic growth in the area around Masela in southern Maluku. Indonesian Student Association, PPI, and the Indonesian Embassy in Brussels, Belgium, stay on 24 hours alert and open a telephone service to monitor the impact of bomb blast in the city, which occurred on Tuesday. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi will discuss trade agreement on an investment in her meeting with Dutch Foreign Minister Bert Koenders today, March 24, 2016, in Jakarta. The meeting was held following the Bali Regional Ministerial Conference in Bali on March 22 to March 23, 2016. Before deciding to join with Trans-Pacific Partnership, there are a lot of preparations should be done carefully by the government. Head of Assessment and Policy Development Agency Foreign Affairs Ministry, Salman Al-Farisi, stressed that the legal preparation in particular should be implemented seriously in order to trade agreement will not make Indonesia as the market only. Indonesia should follow the example of Malaysia's economic sharia system that has been able to empower medium and small-scale entrepreneurs. State-owned steel manufacturer PT Krakatau Steel TBK is seeking government support to face the problem posed by an influx of Chinese steel as the Chinese economy is not showing any signs of recovery. The Tourism Ministry and some Indonesian golf operators visited Seoul and Busan, South Korea, for 3 days from March 21st to March 23rd, 2016, to promote Indonesia's golf tourism potentials. During the ministry's visit to South Korea, a number of local golf operators were invited to a tabletop meeting. The meeting was held to facilitate business transactions that hopefully could boost the number of visits by Koreans to Indonesia to play golf. That was News in Brief.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia,
and RRI, World Service, Voice of Indonesia, present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
A wonderful Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now, here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Gorontalo Province. Stay tuned. Gorontalo is one of provinces in Sulawesi Island. The province mostly consists of mountainous area that stretches from the north to the south. Having a volcanic area, no wonder if Gorontalo has natural hot springs. One of the hot springs in Gorontalo and quite famous, namely Lombongo Hot Water. Lombongo Hot Water is quite interesting because you can enjoy the freshness of natural hot and cold water in one place. The location is in the Duono Village, Suwawa Sub-District, Gorontalo Province, which is approximately 17 kilometers from the Gorontalo city and can be accessed by using land transportation for about 30 minutes. Listener, it was inaugurated in 1989. The 32 hectares Lambunga tourism area was built in two pools, the hot and cold water pools. Interestingly, there is a river close to the bathing pool that drains clear and fresh water from the mountain. The size of hot water pool in Lambunga is about 500 square meters, with about 1 to 2 meters depth. The hot water which coming out from the springs between the rocks can be used to boil eggs. In fact, the source of hot water bathing pool contains with mineral and sulfur, which is very good for skin health. Traveling to Lambunga, swimming activities become a favorite activity of tourists. Interestingly, while bathing, you can enjoy the Lambunga natural beauty. Located at the foot of Mount Tilong Kapila, Lambunga offers biodiversity. A variety of wildlife can still be enjoyed in this area. Different species of birds, including the endemic of Sulawesi, can be witnessed throughout the day. Likewise, butterfly, insect, amphibians, snake, tarsier, as well as the life of fish in the river. Listener, vegetation around the tourism sites is still good, but if you want to enjoy the sensation of the tropical forest, you can get into the Nani Wartabone National Park. Lambunga tourism area is directly adjacent to the Nani Wartabone National Park. For those who want to explore the national park, there are people who are willing to be a guide. And for those who like the water tourism activity, you can continue the activities along the river. When downing the river, you will see two waterfalls which are located quite far each other. Listener, to enjoy the beauty and freshness of Lambunga tourism areas, you only need to pay the entrance ticket of 2,000 rupiah. This tourism area is equipped with various quite good facilities such as toilet, cottages, parking lot, food stall, and information office. If lucky, on certain days, you can watch traditional art performance of the local people. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Lambunga Tourism Area. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information. Hello VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today's edition presents you the World Tuberculosis Day. Tuberculosis is a general contagious disease and in many cases, it is deathly. Tuberculosis usually attacks the lung, but it can have impact on other body parts. Experts believe that one-third of world population has been infected by Mycobacterium tuberculosis, and the infection happens with the speed of 1 second per one person. In 2007, it is expected that there are 13.7 million active chronic cases in the global level. World Health Organization declared tuberculosis as emergency global health in 1993. In 2006, Stop
TB Partnership developed Stop Tuberculosis Global Plan aimed at saving 14 million people in 2015. Apparently, the targeted number was not reached in 2015. Most of them is caused by the increasing number of HIV patients with tuberculosis and the emergence of multi-medicine tuberculosis resistance. To remind all people in the world of tuberculosis danger, World Health Organization sets March 24th as the World Tuberculosis Day. The World Tuberculosis Day aims to raise public awareness of tuberculosis epidemic and efforts to reduce the spreading of the epidemic. March 24, 1882 was the day when a scientist named Dr. Robert Koch announced that he found the cause of tuberculosis, namely Mycobacterium tuberculosis. At that time, the epidemic spread in Europe and America, causing 1 out of 7 people dead. To recall his dedication, March 24th is set as the World Tuberculosis Day. With different themes every year, World Health Organization wants to make people in the world, including in Indonesia, to stay aware of bacteria that cause certain diseases. In Indonesia, the government has unveiled tuberculosis medical treatment program in the local community health centers. Free medical treatment for Indonesian people requires patients to rest and stay away from people nearby in 6 months. This method is considered effective to cure tuberculosis patients completely. The spreading of bacteria through air can make anyone near the patients be hit by the disease. This is why the patient should be in quarantine in 6 months. It is a quite long time for the patients to heal themselves and avoid disease transmission to others. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the World Tuberculosis Day. Thank you for listening. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today, I'll present you to Indonesian singer Sandro Tobing. Well, listener, to initiate the segment of Music Corner, I'll take to listen the first song entitled Nuansa Kasih by Sandro Tobing.
Berdua seiring nada yang kini daku nyanyikan, biar badai taufan menghalang. Cinta kita tidak berubah, hatiku biar awan menggelisah, daun-daun berguguran, namun cinta kita
tetap kami bersatu dalam suka dan duka bersama selamanya. Matahari bersinar, hanya ada dirimu di hatiku. Jauh cinta kita tidak berubah hatiku. Biar awan dan gelisah, daun-daun berguguran, namun cinta kita tetap kan bersatu dalam
listener. Sandro Tobing was born in Medan, North Sumatra on March 17, 1963. He was an Indonesian pop soloist and won the radio and television singing contest in 1980s. From the event, Sandro Tobing began his debut in the Indonesian pop music. The singing talent of Handsome Man has invited a number of producers to get him into a recording company. His career then make his name equal to other famous singers at that time. Before we introduce you more about Sandro Tobing, now, listener, let's listen to his song entitled Sambutlah Cinta. Happy listening.
Titisan kepada malam
The presence of Sandro Tobing in the Indonesian music industry in the 1980s has brought a special atmosphere. His music talent has invited the attention of music lovers in Indonesia. After his success in the music, Sandro began to try his another talent in acting, even though only rely on a good-looking performance. He has played a lot of TV serial films. In 2014, Sandro Tobing performed at a special show that presented memory song in the show of Senandung Cinta bersama Sandro Tobing or Melody of Love with Sandro Tobing, the show that was especially organized for the communities in Medan. On the occasion, Sandro Tobing brought some memory songs such as Nuansa Kasih, Merah Hitam Cinta Kita, Simponi Yang Indah, and Nada Kasih. The event was more enlivened by the rhythm of piano dedicated by Sandro Tobing that got standing ovation from the audience. Well, listener, wherever you are, before we end today's segment of Music Corner, let's enjoy the last two songs entitled Merah Hitam Cinta Kita and Menggapai Cinta by Sandro Tobing. Here are the songs and sampai jumpa.
Seputih melati bunga kasihku ini di dalam diri engkau tumbuh dan bersemi. Ku rasa hasrat lirik menyapa di sela raga yang tak berdaya. Mungkinkah nurani cinta kini meraja. Asmara telah tiba dan milik kita berdua. Ada atau juga tiada, merah hitam cinta milik kita. Sejak kini semakin temaram di dalam dunia, semua pasti ada dan merah hitam cinta kita berdua. Berdaya, mungkinkah nurani cinta kini meraja? Asmara telah tiba dan milik kita berdua. Ada atau juga tiada? Merah hitam.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.